listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a big day, big aftermath day again. Live coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports radio stations. It's 3 o'clock here in Vegas, 6 o'clock on the East Coast. Drive time, listen up, turn up the radio. We have the Vegas verdict on this trade, and it's going to surprise you. In fact, it's going to sound like a riddle because Houston, no doubt they overpaid, but they won the trade. You can overpay and win the trade. We'll explain how. Joined in studio, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, Fezzik, undisclosed location, but he's on vacation back on Monday.
Whoa, update on that. No Fez on Monday.
What the heck?
I got a text today. It says I will not be there on Monday.
Wow.
Breaking news.
Undisclosed. Again.
Undisclosed. Don't know where he's at.
Nobody has any idea, but hopefully his batteries are recharging. But we've got it covered today. Wow. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth every day. But you cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a Friday. And we start in the NBA, the big trade that went down on Thursday evening between the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunders. The Rockets have traded Chris Paul, two protected first-round picks, and two pick swaps to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Russell Westbrook. So all throughout the day and ever since the trade was announced, we've heard a lot of people out there talk about who won the trade, who got better, who has the advantage. I want to know from the guys in Vegas, from the voice of Vegas, who won this trade?
Yeah, and to me, this is the concept. Houston overpaid, but they won the trade. Or at minimum, it was a very good trade for Houston. And that might be the better way to say it. Now, why a good trade, even if by itself they overpaid? Well, I mean, think of an analogy. Is you are going on a 10-day, or like Fezzik, a 10-day vacation, and you've got 9 days of hotel rooms already paid for, and you're so excited. When you look at the amount of money the vacation is going to cost you, you think, this is a great bargain. I'm so excited. But then that 10th day, you got to pay, let's say, double price. Now, your choice is to pay double for the 10th day and have 10 days of vacation, or your choice is to say no, and now you can't go on the vacation. So when you add in paying double for 1 day, is it still a good deal? All right. But you need that purchase in order for it to work. Was Houston going to win the title this year?
No.
I don't think it was a reasonable possibility. They had more. The future's done mortgaged, all right? Houston's future is not bright. Now, when does that future start? 3 years from now? I don't know. Harden, obviously, he's got a trend line at his age. Rest of the team, Chris Paul certainly did. Now, so does, you know, Westbrook. So it's this year, next year, or the next year on the outside for Houston. And it's my belief, it's most NBA experts believe, that Houston, with Chris Paul dropping off as the years passed, they were not viable title contenders. Now, were they 20 to 1, 30 to, yeah, probably. They had a 5% chance of winning, but you don't mortgage your future for 5% chance to win a title. And no one's going to debate Houston's future has been mortgaged already with the contracts and such. So now the odds this season of Houston winning have gone up. We can just look objectively at the title odds. Back on the 4th, or check that. Let's do July 6th. The Rockets were 20-1 to win the title. So they're in that, you know, 5% range or so. And now about 9-1. So just some simple math. Their title odds based on the Vegas market have more than doubled, right?
Yep.
I think that's fair. I think it's fair that they didn't have much of a chance, and now they have a real chance. Now, at 9-1, 10% chance, but it's a real chance. And yes, though, they did overpay in this case. But when you look at the whole picture, the ultimate goal for the Rockets, and we always say, you've got to define what game you're playing. The Rockets' game isn't to make the playoffs. It's not to make the second round, third round, or even make the finals. Daryl Morey's time will be a success if they win one title. It will not be if they win zero. Does anyone disagree with that?
Not at all.
Nope.
All right. So their title odds just doubled. How could we debate if this trade improved them? But now we're going to dig in and say, how can we debate that they overpaid? Because in this transaction, they did. To me, I think of Bill Murray and Caddyshack, right? Remember the cannonball? Is once you start chugging it, you might as well just finish it and do it all because, well, you're going to have a hangover the next day regardless.
Cannonball it. And then one more of these right on top of it. Cannonball! Cannonball coming. Cannonball coming.
Well, that is Russell Westbrook. Cannonball is coming, doubling their chance to win the title. It's fair to say. Now, you can't debate this. You can't discuss it intelligently without considering the contracts. Because someone might say, a critic, you know, a misguided critic, they might say, hey, RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, I heard you and you said that Westbrook had maybe a negative trade value, meaning he was worth nothing, less than zero. Well, look at the haul they just got. You know, why did OKC get so much for him? Well, here comes an analogy you're going to love. No one wants a head cold. Nobody wants the flu. Brad, you agree?
Agree.
But I'm guessing you would trade your head cold, or flip that. You would trade the flu for a head cold, right?
Exactly.
If you got the flu, someone else has a head cold, you'd swap, and you'd probably throw a little extra incentive in, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, Westbrook's the head cold. Chris Paul is the flu. Chris Paul's contract, his age, 3.5 years older than Westbrook. And the idea that in the swap, that to get rid of Paul, they had to throw in a bunch of draft choices, swaps, et cetera, makes a ton of sense. It's not so much Westbrook had a strong trade value. It was Chris Paul's was even worse. So you got rid of the flu, got the head cold, and you paid a little for the pleasure. I can promise you Houston would probably rather not have Westbrook at all, have that contract, and if you go back to the start of free agency, because that money could be, you know, much better spent, I think. And really, when we talk about that money, it's worth just reading off these numbers. So this is Westbrook now starting next season. And we'll just do round, we'll round it to the nearest stick, as we like to say. 38 mil, 41 mil, 44 mil, player option in year four, 47 million. Anyone want to bet that Westbrook's going to take the player option? It's a open invitation to bet that. Now, Chris Paul's only got 3 years on his contract. 38 million, 41 million, 44 million. So really, it's that fourth year for Westbrook that's the player option that makes it where Westbrook's contract's even worse. Because, I mean, that's going to be, in theory, the worst year. He's 31 now, right? 32.
Yeah, going to turn 31.
34 years old during the season, he's going to get paid 47 sticks. That's tough.
Yep.
But it also, think about it, it makes the fact that Houston overpaid all the more strong, that case. Because not only did Houston have to give up a bunch of picks, but they also have to take the worst contract. Now, you might say, well, Westbrook's better than Chris Paul. Well, let's examine that. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, some of the numbers we use when we analyze how good a player is real plus minus.
Yep.
We look at the PER.
Yep.
And I thought we should break it down for defense and offense because the theory is Westbrook should help improve the defense. At least I've heard people say that. The numbers, though, are different.
Yeah, total disagreement from the defense of real plus minus numbers. Chris Paul, out of all the point guards in the NBA last year, ranked number one in defensive plus minus last year. Russell Westbrook, number 32. Big disparity.
Yeah, and if you look at just other general, let's look at, so I guess I'm going to question, and we've got some sound coming up next segment from Kenny Smith, saying, oh, the, you know, they finally are going to be able to play some defense. Again, Kenny Smith knows basketball. The numbers don't back that up. Now, let's look overall. Who's the better player last year?
Westbrook, slightly PER. He's a 21. Chris Paul was a little less than a 20 on a player.
So give us, when you say PER, what's average?
Average player's like 15.
And higher is better?
Higher is better.
Right, exactly. And give the numbers one more time.
Westbrook, a 21. Paul, a little less than a 20.
So really, we're talking shades here.
Shades.
So the question is, we know Houston paid a lot. We know part of the implicit payment is they took on the worst contract of amongst the two. Two bad contracts, they took on the worst one, and picks and swaps. But I say the market in Vegas says that Houston's chance to win the title has increased. Why? Well, it's based on this premise. Westbrook's natural talent at this stage, especially if you fast forward 10 months when the title is going to be decided and age is even more of a factor, because once you start hitting the wall, you hit the wall. The theory is that Westbrook's superior natural talent, if applied properly, with the right attitude, with the right team mentality, the best version of this Rockets team is better than the best version. When I say best version, everything goes right for you. Attitude, injury, whatever. The best version of this new Rockets team is better. It does have a significantly better chance to win the title. But that is making a bet on Westbrook changing, and that's making a bet on Westbrook being unselfish, a team guy. And man, as Colin Cowherd said today, you got a lot of history and a lot of millions of dollars in the bank affirming the way Westbrook's done things so far. When we come back, we'll look into, if Westbrook does make the change, what's it going to look like? How good would these Rockets be?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue to take a look back at the major trade in the NBA.
Yeah, we got a hot take coming up, too. Not for me. Cold cash over hot takes. Speaking of hot, 106 degrees right now on the Vegas Strip. Clear skies, though, and the neon is sizzling.
So, RJ, we discussed the Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul trade. I think a lot of people out there were giving their who won, who lost, but unequivocally, you guys in Vegas look at this as a win for the Rockets, although they may have overpaid.
Yes, and that does seem paradoxical. It's a win for the Rockets as in right now, this upcoming season, the Rockets have a better chance to win the title. The Vegas odds now for the Rockets in the 9-1 range, 9-1, and they were upwards of 20-1 a week ago. All right, so the odds have about doubled to win a title. That is the goal for the Rockets. By the way, ahead of the Rockets right now, you've got the Bucks, Milwaukee at 6-1. I said Bucks, Lakers, 4.5-1, Clippers 3.5-1. So the NBA title favorite, the Clippers. But boy, this is as big payoff as you've seen on the number one favorite in a decade. Super competitive. And we now have four teams better than 10-1. Clippers, Lakers, Bucks, and Rockets have joined that list. Now, why did they overpay? We looked and said, wait a minute. The Rockets gave up a lot of picks, swaps, and they took the worst or the worst contract, maybe the worst, in that 3 years for Chris Paul, he's getting overpaid. 4 years for Westbrook. Oh, by the way, that fourth year, $47 million when Westbrook's going to be 34. So taking that on is part of the implicit payment. Houston's taking on something not good in 3 or 4 years, but better now. We looked at the numbers, real plus minus. We looked at the PER, and it's like, wow, Westbrook's only a smidge better even today. I also think, though, the case could be made that the numbers are deceiving. So Daryl, our producer, came running in on the break. He said, hold on. Go. Oh, hold on a sec. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all good. I understand plus minus and those numbers and stuff like that, but
do you really?
No, I really don't. But
no, I'm not sure I do.
Well, I understand the fact that people like to use these numbers, but how do you not account for Russell Westbrook has played 40 plus more games over the last two seasons than Chris Paul?
Yeah. So if you, and it's a great point, to be honest. If you look at just regular season games played last two seasons, Westbrook 40 exactly more games. And there are some advanced stats that do account, if it's a shared, the way the wins count they do and stuff, does account for the number of minutes and the number of games a player is playing. Now, you're a big Westbrook fan.
I love Westbrook. Behind Kobe Bryant, that's my favorite player in the league.
Now, you know that Jonas has a feud going with Colin Cowherd. Maybe you and Colin also really disagree on this one because Daryl is, Westbrook has been like the poster child of great athleticism, great dunks and posters, and maybe the shoes are cool, but he doesn't win. How would you respond?
I agree with that, but I think that what Russell's thing is, Russell has to take it all on his back. Paul George was there. Paul George did his job. He was very serviceable. But Paul George did not have...
Serviceable.
He was not a takeover guy, though.
And well, if he would have been, he would have never went to OKC. You can only have, in theory, one of those guys.
Well, you got two of those guys
and
in Houston.
And therein lies the rub. To me, that's the question. So let's get into how this team would look. Because I have a vision that it could be pretty amazing, but it's one of those, you know, it's the girl who's been bartending. You ever date a bartender, Brad?
No.
Yeah, she's like 27, 28. Got, you know, a couple, every year, another tattoo. And you're thinking, you know, I saw her reading Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance once, so I think she's smart. And, you know, she's really nice. You know, you got it. You're trying to figure it out, right? Do they have a change in them? Well, in this case, now some guys are thinking, well, why would they have to change at all? It's like, yeah, there you go, right? Some people think that. Others, like Brad, they have a nesting instinct. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
Nesting.
The fact he admitted to it so quickly was the real issue.
He was like, yes. Come on, bro.
Oh, he's killing you. Yeah. Is that the Brad imitation?
Yes. That's my dog, though. That's my dog. Love you, Brad.
The reality is, if you look at Westbrook's career, I mean, Durant in his prime and, you know, let's say up until he just got hurt, was as good as Harden's ever been, maybe better, some would say. He wasn't willing to change for Durant. You know, in a way, when Paul George came, you could say it was validation of Westbrook. Well, if you said that, now that he left after 2 years with multiple years left on his deal, is a sign that it's the opposite of validation, repudiation. And Westbrook's at the stage where, by all accounts, and Zach Lowe was reporting on this, is the market was very soft for Westbrook. My prediction, not a lot of trade value. Certainly, it seems, based on the reporting, panned out to be true. And this is a quote from Lowe. Most rebuilding teams with holes at point guard, or just lots of holes, expressed little interest in giving up any real assets for Westbrook. All right. So now you're looking at a guy that thinks he's as good as anybody. And in a way, that's why he's here. Let's give him credit. You got to have that irrational exuberance about yourself for greatness, I think, oftentimes. At least that's what I tell myself. And the market, though, is saying, no, we disagree. You know, your contract, you're overpaid. You have negative value. Maybe that's what wakes him up. And he only needs that for 1 year. So, yes, to reset, Houston has a better chance to win this year, but they overpaid. And that contract is part of it. And also the fact that the differences between these two are not as steep as you might think. The difference between Westbrook and Paul, though Westbrook's number of games played certainly an advantage on his side. And you could also make the case that Chris Paul, once that decline starts, the next 2 years are going to be worse for him on the amount of drop-off than you would think from Westbrook. What's your thought?
Yeah, and offensively speaking, Chris Paul just had by far his worst year of his career.
But this worst year, based again, yeah. I mean, Daryl can tell us how this is calculated, but if you look at the real plus minus, Chris Paul fourth at his position, Westbrook number 12. So if the worst of his career is better than Westbrook based on the numbers, now what?
Fair enough.
Right? So, but it does make the point, if the drop off has started, it probably keeps going at a fast pace for Chris Paul. And obviously, who knows Chris Paul the best? Right? The Rockets, you know, Daryl Morey, and they sent him out of town, which tells me what could be going on is the conflict between Chris Paul and Harden might have been worse even than the reports. And to some degree, they're thinking, hey, half dozen of one, six of the other, but at least this one's got a new attitude. Now, it's not historically a great attitude, but we know Chris Paul's attitude, which isn't good right now. So it would seem it wasn't good with Harden. Now, one of the theories about how the Rockets improve is an improvement on defense with Westbrook. Once again, the numbers belie. They go against that. If you look at defensive plus minus, Chris Paul number one at his position, Westbrook number 32.
Mm-hmm.
Not good, but we've got from TNT, right? Yep. Kenny the Jet, he had some thoughts that back up the idea that the defense will improve for the Rockets. Let's listen.
They're the best backcourt in basketball. Defensively, I don't know two guards who could say we have an advantage where we could stop them. That's what Houston has been in the last years, is an offensive juggernaut. In the past in Houston, I don't think guys could say, well, I could outscore you and stop you.
So can this Rockets team stop you? And again, it goes into the idea of what is Westbrook's attitude? Because this is a guy, I'm not sure what Westbrook couldn't do, even at this slightly advanced age, if he really put his mind to it physically. This is one of the true freaks ever, you could say, walking the planet when it comes to athleticism. I remember as a Spurs fan years ago, even a 25-year-old Westbrook, when it was the end of the game, I mean, it was like he was jumping out of the gym, it felt like. And there's something about that team, that OKC team, that, remember, Harden's last year in OKC before the trade, that obviously didn't turn out so well for OKC, and Presti, it still is a negative on his resume, no doubt, though I'm not sure what choices he had. But that team made the finals. Durant, Westbrook, and
Harden.
And they were favored over the Miami Heat and LeBron in their primes. The second year of the Heat, they had lost the year before to the Mavs. They made the finals again. OKC was favored.
Yep.
That team wasn't that long, and it was post-Harden that they were up on the 73-win Golden State team. They were up 3-1. They were up against the Spurs in at least 1 year, I'm remembering. So in a weird way, as much as we can say, oh, OKC's been a failure, they didn't win a title, and they drafted in three successive drafts three future MVPs. That's almost incomprehensible. And then you don't win a title. But they were good, and we know there's some luck in titles. I think if we had a universe and we went back and OKC had a chance to, you know, do 10,000 simulations of those teams, they're going to win a lot of titles.
Yep.
And you also got to say, when you think about what this team could be, is Harden knows Westbrook. Westbrook knows Harden. And to some degree, MVPs aside, you could make the case they know this is their last chance. Think about John Elway. John Elway, 2 years before he retired, his narrative would have been one of the greats, but boy, he could never win the big one.
Yep.
I wonder if he was a loser at heart. That's usually, that goes unspoken, but that's usually part of it. And then he wins two, and some think he's the best quarterback of all time. If Harden and Westbrook win a title in the next 2 years, one, how different is their legacy?
Exponentially different, in my opinion.
And it's even more so. You look at a guy like Barkley and say, well, it's almost like notoriety. You know, the Chuck's the best player never to win a title, whatever some people say. But the sense was, it maybe when he was young, it was his attitude, but Barkley was very serious about winning. It seemed obvious, you know, 90, 91, 90, you know, through those years when he put, you know, remember with the Suns, they had a super team. The Rockets had a super team in a way. So, yeah, he didn't win, but it didn't feel like it was his, you know, immaturity that resulted in it. Now, with Harden, I think he's gotten past that. With Westbrook, what's the narrative going to be? It's going to be wasted talent. But if they can win, wow, it will change the whole story. So the theory is that that incentive will trump the millions in the bank, will trump the history of success, quote unquote, doing it his way, Westbrook's way. Will he sublimate his way for the team? Will he make it secondary to what the team wants? And if he does, I think this team could be amazing, and in just a minute, I'm going to break down some possibilities of that team.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue to take a look ahead at the weekend in the world of sports. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And that's Jonas Knox live, in person, interactive, right, Jonas?
That's right. Better believe it.
Exactly.
Clip that, that's right.
It will be. Shh. I got a script, all right? Now, we're going to get all the words we need. Yeah. Now, in a few minutes, next segment, we'll be talking about maybe who won this trade the most, Sam Presti. I'll explain why at a personal level. First, though, what could this team be? Now, here's what we know. Ball dominant. What does it mean? You like the ball. You need the ball, some would say. These are probably the two most ball-dominant players in the NBA. And again, Zach Lowe was talking about this also. In fact, if you look at usage rate, the two highest in NBA history, 1 year was Westbrook, 2017, Harden this past year. How does that work together? Because if they play exactly like last season, the Rockets, and what they do is put Westbrook in the Chris Paul role, disaster, disaster. Westbrook is horrible without the ball historically. He rests. Oftentimes, he'll have his hands on his knees. What does that mean? Well, he's not very good at the catch and shoot three, and thus either his lack of effort or the fact he can't shoot effectively at the NBA level means that now Harden gets double teamed more so than he would usually. That's a disaster. Chris Paul was excellent at catch and shoot. Excellent. So now what's going to happen? If it's the same thing, like we said, a disaster, not to mention the Rockets' offense was exposed in the playoffs again of not being optimal. is the Rockets offense during the regular season, I think you could make the case is optimal. Why? Because you don't really have time to prepare for teams during the regular season. It's not like there's a big game plan. So having a very simple offense that is contingent upon having an elite scorer that can go one-on-one is step repeat. You can just roll the ball out. I'm not saying that's all they did, but boy, if you look at the complexity of some other offenses, when you're playing back-to-backs, it's hard to get ready for them, okay? Where the Rockets, they were excelling in the regular season partially because of the simplicity of their offense. Well, come playoff time, when you have days off in between, you're playing seven games potentially against the same team, you now are ready and you're thinking about traps different. And the simplicity of Houston's offense becomes a negative in the playoffs. Another reason it's a negative is databases, those darn computers. Why? Because you've got thousands of plays, hundreds, thousands, in which it's the same set. It's the same type of situation where they can then have data. Oh, look, if Harden dribbles twice left, the scoring per possession goes way down. Okay, let's shade him right. All the little things that the smart teams try to prevent. They won't run a lot of their sets that are super effective too often. This is why the team of death that Golden State used to put out, that squad, they would only do it judiciously. Some of it was because physically they were smaller and Kerr didn't want the team beat up, but part of it was he didn't want the databases to figure out what they were doing, what they knew they were doing effectively. Houston went the whole other way. It helped during the regular season, the simplicity. It hurt them in the playoffs. What else hurt them in the playoffs? The fatigue, the lack of load management. If you got a guy like Harden that needs that ball so, or that to run this offense, you need it so much in his hands. Is he really going to be ready in June to go 100%? And how does he take any days off or games off? And that's kind of the key of what this Houston team can be. In theory, Westbrook could play that role that Harden's playing, so Harden doesn't have to play it as much. And if he's able to do that, that's an upgrade for Houston. But the real question is going to be, what happens when both of them are on the floor? We'll talk about that, plus the Lakers, when we come back.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We've been talking about the Russell Westbrook-Chris Paul trade that went down on Thursday night. We talked about the risk involved. We talked about Houston's upside being bigger at this point. But, RJ, what would this team look like in the finals?
Yeah, and the assumption is the Rockets in the finals would be the best version or one of the best versions of this Rockets team. Feedback, by the way, on the show, guys, awesome on social media. You can give me your agreement or disagreement at RJ in Vegas on Twitter. That's RJ in Vegas. And it's our goal is to go a little deeper, but do it in an entertaining fashion. And now that we have the new Brad Powers imitation when he's being a little beta, that's going to be in heavy rotation, I think, from our producer. This is the version, Jonas, I see making the finals. It's Harden running a variation, hopefully, if you're a Rockets fan, of what they did last year. But now Westbrook gets to run that same type of thing when Harden's on the bench. So now instead of playing, you know, I don't have his exact minutes in front of me, but imagine if Harden's able to play three or four less minutes a game because Westbrook, against backups in theory, against the bench players, Westbrook's now got the ball. I mean, remember how I think it was Tony Kukoc used to do that very effectively with the Bulls. That second team scorer can be so effective. And they can run the same offense, you would think. Right? Now Harden needs a day off. Now Westbrook runs the offense. To me, the rarest commodity in the NBA, one of the rarest, is going to be a guy that can run that Houston offense. Really, how many guys in the league could run that? A dozen, maybe?
Maybe.
And you've got two of them now on the same team. You could say that's redundant, but you also could say, wow, it helps Houston with their biggest problem, which was their bench play. And it, now you stagger those minutes where Chris, or check that, Westbrook and Harden are playing the least amount of minutes. There'd be no time during a game that one of them isn't on the floor. Think about that for a minute. Same example was in the Clippers on the defensive side. What's one of the rarest commodities? Ability to guard an elite wing player. Well, Leonard can do that. So can Paul George. Now they don't have to do it all the time. Now Harden doesn't have to do it all the time. The real question is what happens when they're both in the game? And I don't know enough PhD level basketball. I've just read a bunch on this. The theory is Westbrook doesn't spot up and shoot, but rather he's slashing. And if that's only 25% or so of the game that they're both in, if he is bought in, Westbrook, and he's slashing to the rim, you're going to get a lot of junk points that way. That's all about effort, though, just like the defense. But that version, I think, has a chance to win the title. The odds say double the chance to win the title, even though, to wrap it up, even though Houston overpaid this year, they won the trade.
You bet the hard eight for $1,000, then you pressed it for two.
Did I hit it?
Nah, you didn't hit it. But it was a big balls bet.
Well, big balls bet, no doubt about it, from the Rockets. Let's talk Lakers for a minute. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We just talked about having redundancy. Guard and wing players for the Clippers, running that Houston offense for the Rockets. Think about the Lakers. Who is going to handle the ball? Right? LeBron James, he's aging, like all of us. But it's more important with what's entering his 17th season. What is the best season ever on record in the NBA for a 17th season? And then do the same calculation for the 18th. Not very good.
No.
And now he probably is going to have the most amount of pressure, specifically that he's going to have to handle the ball seemingly all the time. The offense is going to run through LeBron. All possessions are not created equal. Anthony Davis is an elite player, maybe better than LeBron right now, but he's not going to create his own shot. I mean, he probably can more than most big men, but this is the case where the Rockets have redundancy at a key, with a key need. So do the Clippers. The Lakers need redundancy here. And imagine if Kawhi had gone there, he would have been the guy, but no. And boy, you look at the rest of that team, I just don't think anyone is who you want to run that offense through if you want to win a championship, which is obviously the Lakers' goal.
As everyone discusses winners and losers of the Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul trade that took place on Thursday, one of the key ingredients to the trade was Thunder general manager Sam Presti. RJ, you think he's the winner. What is your thinking behind it?
One of the things we talk about, Jonas, all the time is when a organization's interests are misaligned with a participant in the organization. So the president of the United States, no matter who he is, should want what's best for the country, but oftentimes he wants to be reelected. And that disconnect is what any organizational structure tries to minimize. I think Presti obviously has a ton of equity with the ownership group in OKC. They trust him to defer winning. And to be honest, how many teams are willing to do that? The fact that OKC, literally we're talking, could this be less than a week ago, right? With Kawhi. Less than a week ago, they had Paul George, they had Westbrook. Now, circumstances foisted upon OKC, you got to get rid of Paul or you're going to have trouble. The fact that in a week, OKC has received, they've benefited from a historic number of draft choices. Number one. There's never been a team this loaded in draft choices. And remember, Presti's brilliant. They're not next year. They're not the year after. Why? Because Houston's going to be mighty good, right? So is the Clippers. But how good's Houston going to be in 5 years? How good are the Clippers going to be? Well, that's when Presti has the draft choices. But how might the interests be misaligned? tell me the scenario that Pressey gets fired before a lot of those draft choices get to be made, because you can't grade them. You've decided on deferring for the future. You agreed on it. So how can you grade Presti? So no matter how this turns out, Presti's probably got a job for the next 7-8 years, no matter what. And the odds of it succeeding are quite good.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.